in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, we read these wonderful words, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And you may notice in some of your Bibles, there's a little footnote there at the end of verse 4. And that little footnote says, it insinuates that the word reads "your faith." And I think that's really applicable. That has overcome the world, your faith. Verse 5, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" I really enjoy teaching about victorious faith. It helps me a lot. When you think about all the people that are talked to throughout the year and how many people say no to the faith and how few say yes, it's always important to look into God's Word and to gain faith and to continue to walk in victorious faith, a faith that overcomes the world. What kind of faith is it that leads to the saving of the soul? It's the kind of faith that comes from people who do not draw back into perdition. People who believe to the saving of the soul. Faith is something that pleases God. Faith is something that embraces promises of God. Faith is something that is powerful, confident, and convicted, and it hopes beyond hope. It believes God. It knows that God rewards those who seek Him in faith. It's the kind of faith like Abel, or like Enoch, or like Noah. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, in your Bibles, and verses 8 and through 22, they speak of the kind of faith that we want. And that is faith that embraces and overcomes the world. You know, obeying God when He calls, that's the beginning. And we begin that process as sojourning through this world, as paying pilgrims that we don't belong here, and sacrificing the most precious things. That's what Abraham did, right? He received the strength from God. And so did Sarah. She gave birth at such an old age, declaring the promises of God as part of that generation. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph all showed such great faith. And we're talking about powerful faith, faith that saves souls that are lost in perdition. We're talking about the shield of faith that we'll be studying in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, that will be able to quench all the fiery darts of that wicked one, the devil. That's God's Word, and that's where our faith comes from. We're talking about faith that overcomes the world. Nothing more exciting, nothing more powerful, and nothing more valuable in our lives. It is the faith of the Lord that all the apostles wrote about in the Scriptures. We read that scripture, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Think about those words. And there's many examples in the book of Hebrews about faith. It's really, really all about that. The last chapter, the last half of chapter 11, right, we're reminded of how the Old Testament saints were those who were of faith, and they overcame. They overcame the world. They overcame under tremendous hardship, under tremendous pressure, tremendous enemies, powerful enemies, unimaginable fears. And we want to be able to look at this and be able to glean from that the kind of faith that we must have. You know, you think about Moses and his parents. Moses was born at a time when the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt, demanded that every Hebrew male child that was born would be cast into the river to die, the Nile River. And every female that was born would be kept alive. And so when Moses was born, his parents had a big decision to make, because defying the law of Pharaoh meant you died. And so what did they do? When he became old enough, when he became 3 months old, they couldn't hide him any longer. And so they made, from bulrushes, they made a little ark, and they put him in that little ark. And they laid him in the reeds and by the riverbank, and they just watched him float away. And now you think about the Nile River here. The Nile River, that took a lot of faith. You know, if you go to the Ohio Canal, or a river that has a nice slow current, and you can watch that child, you're not too fearful. But that's not true about the Nile River, right? They had him 3 months, and then they put him in jeopardy on the Nile River, dealing with poison asps, spiders, crocodiles, even hippopotamuses. That's pretty scary. And when you think about that, that wasn't the only thing, because the river itself was dangerous. It has current. To top that off, of all the dangers around the Nile River, snakes, spiders, whatever, alligators, actually they had crocodiles, they were not afraid. They were not afraid of Pharaoh's command, right? They weren't afraid of that. Why were they not afraid? Because their victory, their faith was in their God. Moses was somebody that was sent literally to come into this world to be a leader of the Hebrew nation. They didn't know that at the time, but they knew that he was lovely and that there was something special about him, and they were willing to risk their own lives to save him. And they trusted that when he went down that river, he wouldn't be overcome by all those jeopardies. Such a small beginning to overcome the world of that time, Egypt. But it didn't end there. You think of Moses and his faith. He refused to be called the son of God. Or I'm sorry, he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He wasn't the son of God. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, when he became of age, the scholars say around 40 years old, he refused to be called the Pharaoh's daughter's son. He chose rather to suffer affliction with God's people, rather to enjoy all the joys of Egypt, all the temporary pleasures of Egypt. And he esteemed the reproaches of Christ, the scripture says, more valuable than the treasures of Egypt. You can read that in chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. Just amazing, amazing things. And you think about that, he forsook Egypt. And he did that by faith. Think of what he left behind. All the treasures, all the joys, all the pleasures, all the conveniences, and he left all that behind. And he wasn't worried about the wrath of the king. And Book of Matthew, we read, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body. He knew how important it was to put God and the importance of God above everything else, including the fear of man. And he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood that happened in the days of the Exodus. He believed that God's warning regarding the children of Israel and the death of the firstborn son that we read about in Exodus chapter 12, he believed that God would do that and bring it to fruition. And he had Israel sprinkle the blood on the lamb and on the lintels of the doorposts so that the destroyer would pass over and not kill their firstborn. By faith, Moses overcame the world of Egyptian bondage. Think about that. And by faith, he passed through the Red Sea, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. They walked through it on dry land. You read about that in Exodus chapter 14. And the Egyptians who followed them, well, Exodus 14 tells us that they perished in that sea. God didn't save them. He used them as an example to prove that he was the God of creation. When we think about that, what was it like for those people to walk through walls of water on either side on dry land that just opened up before them? That's just absolutely mind-boggling to think that they would do that kind of a thing. Imagine if something like that were to happen today. Imagine that if we were driving down the road and we came to the Lake Erie on our way to Canada, And the walls just opened up of water on either side. And then we realized that the enemy, the people behind us, some soldiers, somebody was chasing us and the water just opened up. And we crossed over on dry land. It's just absolutely amazing. A school bus, children, people just driving. And we think about that, overcoming the world by faith. Then another place that happened, of course, is Jericho. It's kind of hard to not remember that. They destroyed the city of Jericho by faith. The walls fell down, the scripture says. They walk around that city. You read it in Joshua chapter 6. They walked around that city for 7 days, 13 times. They encircled the city, showing their faith. And the might of God overpowered the military might of Jericho. And by faith, Israel overcame. Again, they overcame the power of Egypt and of the Philistines. And then what? Think, faith of Rahab the harlot is listed also in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Right? She received the two spies and she protected them. Those two spies with stalks of flax on her roof. She hid them so that they would not be found by the soldiers. And therefore, as a result, she did not perish with unbelievers when that land was overtaken by Israel. Joshua chapter 6 at verse 22 and following. You read that through. By faith, Rahab overcame the world of that time and the sin of unbelief. She pleased God by protecting those. And so, it's through faith that we receive the promises of God. They received the land that Abraham was promised, Isaac and Jacob. That process by faith, they overcame all the obstacles that were in their way, everything in the world that was placed before them. And a simple Gentile Rahab was saved and became a recipient of the promise of faith. And so there's no way to even begin to stop there. And we continue, we see the faith in the lands, the lists of heroes that are in the Bible, the example lists of faithful people. Right? There's not enough time in our lesson tonight for the author of the Bible, of the book of Hebrews, described all those people of faith that dwell in the land. People like the judges, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, the king like David, or the prophets like Samuel, and the rest of the prophets who did great and marvelous things by faith and were successful because of that faith. But what we do read, and we read about that, is a summary list of such marvelous things. They subdued kingdoms, right? Joshua conquered the Philistines. David conquering neighboring nations on a regular basis. And it didn't stop there. They worked righteousness. They administered justice. Right? Samuel, as a judge, the people said of him, "You have not cheated us or oppressed us, and you have not taken anything from any man's hand." That's in 1 Samuel. He was a judge, but he was a just judge. David is king. He reigned over all of Israel and administered judgment and justice to all the people, and they loved him because his judgments were true and just. Solomon as kings, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. You think about Solomon and how Solomon, he pronounced judgments and rendered judgments, and that people feared the king. They saw that his wisdom was of God. Those are great things, right? And the way he administered justice, when the women came to him and were the one baby and whose baby is it, and he made that decision to cut the baby in half and give it to both, he knew the wisdom that the mother, the true mother, would not want that baby to die. And so people trusted and they looked up to the wisdom of Solomon. And the people obtained promises. They obtained the promised land, right? In fact, in the process of living for God, they stopped the mouths of lions, the scripture tells us. The Spirit of the Lord mightily upon him, he tore a lion apart as one would tear apart a young goat. That's what we read in Judges about Samson. And of course, David, he's protecting his sheep. And when we think about David protecting his sheep, you know, he said that a lion and a bear, or a bear, he came to take one of the lambs, and he went out after it, and he struck it and delivered that lamb from the lion's mouth. And when it arose up and attacked him, he grabbed him by the beard, and he killed both the lion and the bear. That, just like he did with the uncircumcised Philistine giant Goliath. He overcame by the power of God because of his faith. Daniel, of course, in the lion's den, in Daniel chapter 6, overcame. He went thrown in, expected to be eaten up by lions, but the Lord God shut the mouths of those lions, and Daniel, he overcame because of God. Quench the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that fiery furnace, heat it up and throw them in there. They're gonna die, and they didn't die. In fact, they came out with one more person as the Son of God. They escaped the edge of the sword, right? David fleeing King Saul, Elijah fleeing Jezebel, and Elisha, who the king wanted to murder. They all fled, but were held up by the hands of God. They all escaped the edge of the sword because of their faith, because of the victorious faith that they had. And out of weakness, the scripture says, they were made strong. Samson, after his hair was cut off, and they were going to kill him, had him tied up between the pillars, and he prayed to God for one more, and he brought those pillars down, and the people came crashing down and died. Hezekiah, who was given a letter, literally a letter of condemnation, "You're going to die, I'm going to overpower you, you have no strength, your God's powerless," and he lays that letter out, and he sets it before the Lord, and he was given 15 more years of life, as a matter of fact. Prior to that, when he thought he was going to die, he was told he was going to die, and he was given all these great things because of great faith. And when we think of this, they became valiant in battle, right? They turned the flight of the enemies. David defeating Goliath, he turned him back, the enemies, those Philistines. Jehoshaphat defeating in Edom. Hezekiah, as I mentioned, who opened that letter and didn't trusted God and not the fear of the Assyrian soldiers. And in the morning when they got up, the 185,000 soldiers were dead. All because of faith. Their victories were all based upon the faith that they had. Right? The prayer for the people When we think about what took place in 2 Kings chapter 19, the prayer for the people in verse 4, the prayer for Hezekiah, the right in light of Sennacherib's letter and Hezekiah's prayer, right? Save us from his hand, he said in his prayer, right? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, God, you alone. And God answered that prayer. God heard that prayer. Verse 35, the angel of the Lord went out and killed the camp of the Assyrians. That was the 185,000. And so God hears the prayers. God honors the prayers. And mostly he honors the faith that was behind that prayer. Right? Through faith, women received their dead, raised again, the Hebrew writer tells us. You think of the widow Zarephath. Elijah, 1 Kings 17, her sons died. Her prayer, her faith, Elijah comes, the son's alive. The Shunammite woman through Elijah, 2 Kings. All these things happen because of the prayers and the faith of others. Others' people were tortured, right? They didn't accept deliverance, they accepted the torture. The murdering, the terrible things that were done to them, and they, because they believed they were gonna receive a better resurrection, and that's that overpowering faith. And some, these things are especially understood by the Hebrew readers, right? Others, trials, mockings, chains, imprisonment. Micaiah the prophet, Jeremiah the prophet, they were all in prison. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, seeing all the terrible things that were going on. Some were stoned to death, Zechariah, sawn in two. The scripture tells us that they were tempted, like Daniel as a youth. We read about him being tempted, slain with the sword, Uriah the prophet. And so all of these things were just great examples of overpowering faith. And so we think about this and we ask, you know, certainly we don't praise the world. The world isn't the reason. Many had wandered in deserts and they spent many years wandering about dens and caves like Elijah talked. But the truth is, the world is not worthy of them. And so it wasn't the world. They did obtain a good testimony, and yet they didn't obtain the promise in their lifetime. Think about that kind of faith. You know, we have something they didn't have. We know from the scriptures the Messiah came. We know that he walked among men. We know that he did many signs, wonders, and miracles. He walked on water, fed thousands with just a little bit of bread and fish. We know that he raised Lazarus from the dead. We know that he healed the lame and the blind and those who were leprous and those who couldn't hear. He did those things, and we have many witnesses. And we also know that he was crucified, dead and buried, and 3 days later arisen from the grave. And that's our faith. We have a faith they didn't have because they were still waiting for Messiah. So those are the things they did not receive in their lifetime. Christ the Redeemer. They waited for and waited for. He's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. And they didn't get to see that. They didn't get to learn that until many, many years later. And so, but through that death, they were made perfect just as we are, those who live by faith. Look in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and we'll read, verse 14, the scripture says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Go over to chapter 11 and verse 40. Chapter 11 and verse 40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 22, beginning at verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that sprinkles better things than that of Abel. Think of that. Note the phrase, the spirit of just men made perfect. That is in verse 23. The spirit of just men made perfect. Those who lived in the past should not be made perfect apart from us. Everyone, no one, I should say, is saved without the blood of Christ, not the past, not the present, and not the future. So through faith, they overcame in a powerful way, right? Sometimes their victories were purely miraculous, and sometimes it was just their faith. Their ultimate victory that, you know, those who died in faith, that's the ultimate victory. The ultimate victory, those who enjoyed the fruit of faith and the promises that were yet to come, that's the ultimate victory that they had. Like them through faith, we too have an ultimate victory. We too can overcome the world that we live in. Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the Son of God. That's what gives us victory. That's what we read in that opening scripture. Victory to overcome the world's temptation. Victory to overcome persecution. Victorious that we may live in by the power of God. Those are the great things of faith. The power of God that works in our lives. Right? We need to be people who are going to receive the crown of life by living faithfully until death, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And so you think of this great chapters of the book of Hebrews, the chapters of faith shows the motivation of these people, how powerful that motivation is because it pleases God, because it embraces the promises of God, and it overcomes the world. Right? They might not win the praise of the world. We're never going to do that. But we will receive the praise of God because we're waiting for that house, that building that was built without hands, that building whose foundation and builder is God. And I'm hoping that everyone here understands all of those things and that you're encouraged just simply by the word faith, because faith is the victory and we've overcome the world because of it. If you have any need this night, it doesn't matter what that need is, whether it's to ask for prayers or we have no necessary need for baptism tonight, but the invitation is always extended. Whatever the need you may have, please don't hesitate, but come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.